Going through a series on the book of Acts, the Acts of what we're calling the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's called the Acts of the Apostles in the Bible, but we're calling it the Acts of the Holy Spirit because it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And we've been doing that now since the beginning of August. It's kind of coming to the end of the series. And Doug asked me to preach this message, and so that's what we're going to do. And continue in that. And, you know, I pray that we won't just hear about the Holy Spirit. Amen. But we'll be filled. Yes. Amen. Again and again, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I heard one preacher say, we got to get filled again and again because we tend to leak. You ever feel like you leak? Yeah. I need more. Holy Spirit, I need more. And we do. We do. We need to stay in the river of God's Spirit. We'll be talking about that river today. And so we're going to start. I'd like for you to open your Bibles, if you have them, to the book of Ezekiel. And so I'll get back to the book of Acts here in a little bit, but we're going to get into some heavy prophetic stuff this morning. And we're going to chapter 47. And this portion of Scripture from chapter 40 into 40. Oh, by the way, if you don't know who I am, I'm Ken. My name is Ken Woodward. I'm not officially a pastor here, but I just hang out with these guys. I did pastor for about 30 years, so they... I guess they trust me enough to let me in the pulpit every now and then. So it's an honor. It really is an honor to preach here and to minister the word. So I'm very blessed. And I just want to say you've got some amazing men who serve here. Doug and Michael and John and Ken Jenkins. I'm Ken 2. He's Ken 1. He was here before me. So. I like to call myself Ken Jr., but I think I'm older than he is, so he might not like that. But you do have some amazing pastors here. And Michael reminds me a lot of myself when I was his age, on fire, full of the Holy Ghost, just wanting to see God's kingdom come. And that's what we're all about here at Centerpoint. So anyway, that's who I am, and some of my family's here. My daughter's in from Arkansas and visiting. My grandkids are here, and we've had a lot of fun and a little sleep. Yes, they say you're getting old when the midnight oil runs out at 9. And mine runs out about 9 o'clock. But theirs doesn't seem to. I don't know what that is. And they get up early. So, all right, let's get back to Ezekiel chapter 47. Chapter 40 through 48 is a very interesting part of the Scriptures. And it's really a picture of a vision of the city of God. The very last verse in Ezekiel, the prophet says that the name of the city is "The Lord is here." In Hebrew, it's Yehovah Sham. The Lord is here. What a name for the city of God. The Lord is here. How many of you want to live in the city where the Lord is here? Now, I personally believe that this whole section of Scripture is talking about the church. And he speaks of a temple being built. And of course, Jesus spoke to us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at chapter 47, the first few verses, verse 1 through 12, where he talks about a river. He prophesies about a river. And he says this. Let's look here. Let me get my glasses on. "Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from the south of the altar. And he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside that faces outside to the outer gate by the way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. And he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me back to the bank of the river. And when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river there were many, many trees on one side and on the other. Then he said to me, "These waters go out toward the eastern region and go down into the Araba. Then they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh. And it will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live." Say that with me, will live. "And there will be very many fish, for these waters go there and the others become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. And it will come about that fishermen will stand beside it from Engedi to Eneglim. There will be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be according to their kinds, like the fish of the great sea, very many. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. And by the river on its banks, on one side and on the other, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing." Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. So we see here a life-giving river flowing out from the temple. And it begins as a trickle. It begins as a trickle. And then it becomes deep enough to be over your ankles. And then it becomes deep enough to reach your knees and then your waist. And then too deep to cross, deep enough to swim in. There's a river flowing from the temple of God that began on the day of Pentecost. It began on the day of Pentecost, bringing healing to the nations. And that's what we're talking about as we go through this series on Come, Holy Spirit. And so today what I want to do, my text is from Acts chapter 16 and verse 5. And it reads, it says, "So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers." So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Just a little background there. In chapter 16, Paul and Silas had been traveling through the region where they had planted churches. They were coming in, ministering by the power of the Holy Spirit. The people were being strengthened, and they were continually increasing in numbers. And we had seen through the study of the book of Acts that we've already talked about that God poured out His Spirit and things began to happen. Powerful things began to happen through not only apostles, but also through ordinary people. The title of the message today is "The Holy Spirit in Nameless Saints." The Holy Spirit in Nameless Saints. We're going to look at great saints that we know their names today. But we're also going to talk about what God does through you, through the nameless saints, the millions of nameless saints. Because I, for one, believe that Jesus Christ is taking over the world. And the Holy Spirit is more than capable of giving Christ the nations He died to save. It will never be said of the reputation of the Holy Spirit that He couldn't get the job done. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to have 4 points in my message. First of all, we're going to talk about who is the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get a little basic. We're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is it? What happens when that happens? I'm going to give you a little brief history of some of the outpourings of the Holy Spirit, not only in the book of Acts, but beyond the book of Acts. The book of Acts is one book in the Bible that did not get finished. If you read it, it just kind of stops because it's still being written. The Acts of the Holy Spirit did not stop with the first generation of Christian saints. And we're going to see that very vividly in some of the historical outpourings that God brought to the world. And then we're going to end with our need, a cry, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. How thirsty are we for a move, for a river? We need to get in the river, amen? So let's start out in the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 1, we're going to read verse 26 through verse 35. Very familiar story. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." I love that verse. His kingdom will have no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God." For that reason, Jesus was called the Son of God. He said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." And so this angel basically is saying to us, introducing the Holy Spirit here in the book of Luke as the Most High God. He is the third person of the Trinity. Now, I'm not going to get into the great teaching on the Trinity, though we would be here for a long time if I did that. But suffice it to say that He is the Most High. He is one of the persons of the Trinity. And He came upon Mary, and because of what He did, Jesus was called the Son of God. John chapter 7. John chapter 7, Jesus begins to speak of the Holy Spirit, and in verse 37, it says, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water.' But now listen, 'But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. He spoke of the Spirit as a river of living water. Now, what did we just read about in the book of Ezekiel? A river of living water coming out of the temple until it becomes a great river you can't cross. You can swim in it, and it gives life everywhere it goes. And that's what Jesus spoke of the Spirit being. And so who is the Holy Spirit? He is a river, a life-giving river, that when Jesus was ascended into heaven, he promised to send, and he did. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Again, Jesus. If anybody's going to talk to us about the Holy Spirit, I'd say it's Jesus, huh? Jesus said in verse 15, "If you love me, and will keep my commandment. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another," what? "Another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." So Jesus gives us another picture of the Holy Spirit. You ask the Father, and I will give you another helper. How many of you need help? Thank God we have a helper. It's wonderful that Jesus called the Holy Spirit the helper. We need help. That's what Jesus came to do, to help us. And it's what he sent the Holy Spirit to do, to be our helper. And he says he calls him the Spirit of truth. He came to reveal the truth. The Holy Spirit comes to help us and to lead us into truth. And then in chapter 16, Jesus again speaking of the Holy Spirit in verse 7. "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they did not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Whatever he discloses to you, what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you." Again, he tells us the Holy Spirit. What does he do when he comes? Here's what he's going to do. He's going to convict the world of sin. When the Spirit of God comes and is poured out, he convicts the world of sin. Saints, if we don't have conviction of sin, we don't have the presence of the Holy Spirit. You see, what Jesus come to deliver us from? The power of sin. And one thing the Holy Spirit does, he comes and he convinces us we're sinners so that we can know we need a Savior. Convinces us of righteousness, and he convinces us of coming judgment. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to see in some of the outpourings that I'm going to talk about how powerful the Holy Spirit can do that and how much we need him to do that. He'll also guide us into all truth. He's going to guide us. He's going to guide the church into truth. And if you look at church history, he's been taking us, guiding us, walking us into truth after truth after truth after truth after truth as he's bringing his kingdom on earth. Revealing truth about who God is. Revealing truth about who we are. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth. And then he says, and he will glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to glorify Christ Jesus. to glorify the Messiah who gave his life. And he empowers his people to be a witness of Jesus, bringing glory to Jesus everywhere we go. Amen? That's who the Holy Spirit is. That's a brief picture of who the Holy Spirit is. Now, what about this baptism of the Holy Spirit? Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. And I think Doug preached this, the very first sermon on this series. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. Jesus gathers them together. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And so Jesus gathers his disciples together. He had already come. He had been appearing to them many times. One of the times when he appeared to them, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But now he's telling them, wait in Jerusalem until you receive what was promised by the Father. For not many days from now, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now here they were born again, believers in Christ, ready to follow Jesus. And he says, but you're not ready. Wait until I clothe you with power from on high. Then you'll have power to be my witnesses. That word witnesses is the same word as martyrs, where we get our word martyr from. You'll have power to be a martyr for Jesus. Nothing can stop you. Peter wouldn't deny the Lord again because he was about to be empowered to where his life didn't mean anything unless it was glorifying Jesus. Amen? And so they did. They waited. And we know that God poured His Spirit out upon them. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. They began to speak in tongues and glorify Jesus. And the sound was great. And 3,000 souls were saved that day. And that trickle started pouring out of the temple. And it began to grow. And it began to increase. And then you see a few chapters down the road, the disciples get persecuted and flogged, and they come out glorifying Jesus that we were lucky enough to get flogged. That's a mindset that I don't know we have too good these days. They were glorifying Jesus, and they came and they prayed, and they said, oh Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservants might speak thy word with all boldness. That you might extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders would take place in the name of thy servant Jesus. The Bible says the Holy Ghost fell on them. And they were all filled with the Spirit. Wait a minute, I thought they were already filled with the Spirit. I thought they were already baptized. They'd already had Pentecost. They had. But here it happens again. Same people get drenched in the Holy Ghost again. The river maybe got up to the ankles. Maybe got up to the knees. It began to grow. It began to increase. And this says they went out and they preached boldly. They just gotten flogged and warned that they better never preach in the name of Jesus again. And they didn't listen to the people at all. They listened to the Holy Spirit. And they went out boldly, powerfully preaching the gospel. And God continued to add to their numbers daily. And it just continued to spread. It became, and they were immersed. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's an immersion in the power and the presence of the living God. You see, God is with us. What is Jesus' name? Emmanuel. He's with us. How's He with us? In the person of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Amen. He lives with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. We need to be a Spirit-filled people. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost. Because we got a world to reach, we got a life to live, and we need the power and the joy and the life of God flowing through us. Amen? And He has says, all you got to do is ask, and I'll come. And that's what they did. They were praying, and the Holy Ghost was poured out again. And we see it time and time again. And all kinds of manifestations happen. Spirit of God falls on people. They start speaking in tongues, prophesying, glorifying God. All kinds of things happen, and they preach the gospel. And people were continually being added to their number. Signs and wonders, miracles happening everywhere they go. The river was flowing. The river was flowing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a divine rain from heaven that fills a believer with the living presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And it's an ongoing occurrence. It happens again and again and again throughout the book of Acts. And it happens again and again and again and again throughout church history to this day. To this day. In the book of Acts, thousands were saved. Hundreds of churches were planted all over the world. Thomas, the Apostle Thomas, planted churches in India. They're still there, some of them. The gospel was preached. They went everywhere preaching the gospel under the power of the Holy Spirit. But let's fast forward a little bit in history to the year 389 A.D., about 300 years later, a little over 300 years. How many of you ever heard of St. Patrick? Raise your hand. Anybody ever heard of St. Patrick? Well, of course you have. What do you know about St. Patrick? Time to go to the pub and get drunk? How does that happen? When you hear his story, you're going, how did that become a drunken celebration? St. Patrick, when he was 15 or 16 years old, he lived in England. His parents had been converted to Christianity. That's now in England. And think about it, this was only 300 years after Jesus. The gospel had, in seed form, come into England, and he had been raised in a Christian home. Armies from Ireland came, and they were pagan, conquering, butchering people. He was captured and put into slavery and taken back to Ireland in the year 389 A.D. They made him a shepherd. He was out in the fields, and he called upon the Lord. And he would get on his knees, and his words were that in the cold of the night, he was so warmed by the Spirit that he felt no pain. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed, constantly praying while he was in the field with the sheep. One day he had a vision, a dream. The Lord told him, go to the coast, make your way to the coast. There'll be a ship there to pick you up. He obeyed the dream. He left. He escaped. Went to the coast. Sure enough, there was a ship there. Picked him up. Took him back to England. He got to England. Lived there a few years. But he kept praying for the Irish people. He had a burden for Ireland. The people that had enslaved him. He had a burden for Ireland. One day he had a dream. And he saw a man from Ireland saying, come to us, holy youth, and walk among us. Does that sound familiar? I remember Paul had a dream, didn't he? A man from Macedonia said, come to us. Same kind of thing. Patrick had a dream, come to us, holy youth. And he knew then he was called to reach the Irish people and to begin to prepare for ministry. In the year 432 AD, he went back to Ireland. He was 58 years old. God's never too old to use you. I mean, you're never too old for God to use you, yeah. God doesn't get too old. We don't get too old to be used of God. In 432 AD, he went back to Ireland and began preaching the gospel. And the power of the Holy Ghost was on him. And for the next 28 years, he preached throughout Ireland. Untold thousands came to Christ. He planted over 700 churches. 28 years. 28 years, he planted over 700 churches. He raised up 700 bishops and 3,000 ministers of the gospel in 28 years by the power of the Holy Spirit. He trained and set in church leadership. I already said that. He set up training centers to educate thousands. The people, this was a pagan nation. They knew nothing about God. They knew nothing about, they were led by Druid priests in the Druid religion, pagan as they could be, no biblical worldview, whatever. And he went in and saw a massive move of God. Set up training centers to educate thousands. He transformed civil government, working with kings to establish godly laws. Not only did he have revival, he had reformation of a nation. And it didn't end with him. For 300 years, this revival went on. Missionaries spread out from Ireland and went all over the known world at that time, all through England, went into to the European continent and went to where the Vikings were, and these, I mean, pagan peoples evangelizing and bringing the gospel. One historian wrote, his name is Sumas McManus, writes of Patrick, he says, all histories of all countries probably could not disclose to the most conscientious searcher another instance of such radical change in a whole nation's character being wrought within the lifespan of one man. And one day he was just a nameless Christian. And the Spirit of God came upon him and many after him and changed the world. And won for Jesus that which he suffered for. Let's fast forward for 1,200 years. 1605, in a place called Dedham in Essex, England, under the ministry of a man by the name of John Rogers. John Howe, one of the great Puritan fathers, writes in his accounts, he had met a man by the name of Thomas Goodwin, who later became Dr. Thomas Goodwin, who was a revivalist in his own right. Tells of a story when he went to hear John Rogers preach. People were hearing of John Rogers preaching. They were riding horseback for miles just to come to hear him preach, saying that the saying was, let us go up to Essex and get a little fire. Thomas Goodwin went up, and that day, John Rogers was preaching a sermon on the neglect of the Bible by his people. And the power of God came so powerfully upon him, it says, and I quote this, he put all the congregation into so strange a posture that he never saw any congregation in his life. The place was a mere bochum. Bochum was the place where the angel came to the children of Israel when they had failed to take the land and told them that he was removing his spirit from them, and they began to weep uncontrollably. He said the place became a mere bochum. The people generally deluged with their own tears, and he told me that he himself, when he got out and was to take horse again to be gone, was fain to hang a quarter of an hour upon the neck of his horse, weeping before he had power to mount. So strange an impression was there upon him and generally upon the people upon having been thus expostulated for the neglect of the Bible. He was so moved by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, as was the rest of the congregation. He got out to his horse, fell on the neck of his horse, and for 15 minutes wept uncontrollably. He said, I've never seen anything like it. And that movement brought great, powerful change and revival to Essex, England. Let's go another 200 years down the road, 1842. Called the prayer meeting revival in New York City. New York businessman named Jeremiah Lampier was converted, got saved, and felt the desire to start a prayer meeting with businessmen. A noonday prayer meeting. The first week, six people showed up. Six men, six businessmen. The next week, 20 people showed up. In 6 months, 10,000 people were coming to this prayer meeting. In 2 years, 1 million converts. In 2 years. Because God poured out His Spirit, saints. Let us not think God can't move. Let us not think God can't do something. A river. You see, saints, this is 1,800 years after Pentecost, and the river is still flowing. The river is still flowing. Not only did that happen, but it spread to Great Britain. There were over 100,000 converts in Ireland, 100,000 converts in Wales, 300,000 in Scotland, and 500,000 in England. The revival spread all over the place. The water was running. The river was flowing. Too deep to swim in. Today, we are living in the midst of the greatest outpouring of God ever in the history of humanity. And you might say, man, didn't you listen to CNN? Don't you watch Fox News? CNN and Fox News don't tell us what's happening in the kingdom of God. And I'm not against watching the news. It helps me know how to pray. But saints, listen to these stats. In 1430, the year 1430, the ratio of Christians to total world population was 1 to 99. 1 to 99. That's just right before Columbus discovered America. In 1790, it was 1 to 49. In 1940, that's the beginning of, for us, of World War II, 1940, 1 to 32. Now get this. By 1944, the war's still going on. It went from 1 to 32 to 1 to 7. People in the world. See, don't ever get too worried about what's happening in the world. God knows how to use a storm to bring a flood. That's right. Hallelujah. That's right. The greatest war ever in the history of the world, the greatest revival ever in the history of the world. This is my place here. One in three people in the world are nominal Christians today. One in three. One in seven to one in ten are Bible-believing Christians today. The river hasn't stopped flowing.
That's right.
The river hasn't stopped flowing, saints. The river keeps getting deeper. In 1978, there was this young couple in a little place called Whitesville, Kentucky. Me and my wife. And we were at a business conference. We attended a little Bible study on a Sunday morning. A few of the people got together. We had been raised Roman Catholic. This lady shared her testimony. Next thing I knew, my face was wet with tears. We were standing. I looked and Carolyn, there was a drips of tears, puddle forming under her. She was weeping before the Lord. And God found us. Powerfully, powerfully found us. And our lives were changed forever. We went away from that place just hungry, thirsty. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me and I'll give you a drink. We were thirsty. And so every time the church doors were open, the Catholic church doors were open, we were there. We were hungry. We were looking for God anywhere we could possibly find Him. We met a young couple that part of a youthful campus ministry that began to preach the Word to us and teach us the Bible. And we were just drinking it in. And one day, he'd been preaching to us, sharing with us, feeding us. One way to get people to Jesus is to put a steak on the table. He was a great cook. Always inviting us down for dinner. Hospitality is a powerful ministry. He said, we're going to a prayer meeting. You want to go? I said, sure. We got to the prayer meeting, getting ready to go in the door. He says, oh, by the way, people in here are going to be speaking in tongues. I said, what's that? I never heard of it ever in my life. I had no clue what he was talking about. He said, well, it's what happens to you when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes. Sometimes people speak in tongues, and some people be so. I said, okay, cool. So we go in, and I kid you not, the presence of the Holy Spirit was there so powerfully. And I'd never sensed the love of God like I sensed that day. And like, wow, these people, and they were just beaming out of them. And then it was in the pastor's home, and the pastor's wife sat down at the piano, and she began to play. And they began to sing songs, worship. I'd never experienced that kind of worship before. And then all of a sudden, they all began to sing in tongues. I thought, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard in my life. It was like angels. What is that? It was water flowing as they began to just glorify God. Oh, I got to have this. And so we got baptized in water shortly thereafter. And they said, now we're going to lay hands on you when we baptize you. We'll pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so you might speak in tongues, you might whatever. I said, oh, okay, I'm scared. I don't know if I can do this. They prayed for us, and I wanted to speak in tongues, but I was scared to death, and I couldn't, and I didn't, and whatever. And, you know, everybody doesn't speak in tongues when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, but many times they do. But, you know, the Bible says we should desire spiritual gifts, especially that you should prophesy. That's what Paul said. I desire that all of you speak in tongues, but especially that you prophesy. Just desire spiritual gifts. Ask God, you want to heal the sick? Pray for the gift to heal. Anyway, a few days later, I was driving down the road, going to work, and it was a beautiful sunrise, and I was just glorifying God. Oh, Jesus, you're amazing, you're wonderful. And all of a sudden, this river flowed up out of me, and I felt it coming up out of me and out of my throat, and out came a language I'd never spoken before. I just began to worship, speak in tongues, pray, and sing. And it happened to Carolyn later on, too. And we began to experience this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you knew me before I was a Christian, I was a very timid young man. And if I'd have gotten up here like this, I'd have fainted. Thought of speaking in front of people. Shortly thereafter, after we got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was up in my bedroom one afternoon praying, and after I got home from work, and the Lord said, go down to the local hangout there and preach the gospel to those kids. All right. What? It's a place like kind of like Sonic. It was a place where all the teenagers would hang out at night. So go down there and preach the gospel. Tell them about Jesus. Well, I didn't get in my car and drive down there because I wanted a long time to get there, so I walked. It was about half a mile. I said, oh, God, help me. God, help me, help me, help me. Fill me, Lord, help me, help me. But I went. I went in obedience to what the Holy Spirit was saying. I got there, and I began to preach the gospel. And pretty soon, I had a crowd of kids around me. I was sharing the gospel with them, and I preached until the management came out and ran me off. They did run me off, actually. And I began to go to campus outreaches and ministries around the country and preach the gospel. And I'm saying that to you is that God took a timid young man and made a and gave me power and boldness to preach the gospel and to go and leave everything I had and come here and plant a church. And we saw hundreds of young people give their lives to Jesus. And it was a powerful, powerful thing. God can use a nameless Christian. God can use any nameless Christian. And He loves to use nameless Christians. And so the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers because the Holy Spirit was filling nameless saints. The Holy Spirit definitely uses great men and women throughout history, but He also fills those nameless millions to bring His kingdom on earth. Individuals changed and empowered with the gospel, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Families restored and filled. Communities transformed. Nations changed. Are we hungry? Are we thirsty? We live in a dry land right now, don't we? Yes, God's moving all over the world, but He's looking for His people to be thirsty. Thirsty for more. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. I'm going to close with this scripture. It says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come." Who's the bride? The Spirit and the bride are saying, come. "And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost." Jesus paid the price. We get to drink the water. Amen. I'm gonna close with a song. And it's really a prayer. It's a prayer for the reign of the Holy Spirit. And I that's what I want us to do as we close today. I want us to lift up a cry. A prayer. Our theme is "Come, Holy Spirit." Well, let's not just talk about it. Let's open our hearts this morning and receive a fresh fire from heaven, a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit. What could God do this morning? Maybe we don't have to wait. We will if we need to. But let's expect God to touch us this morning. Amen. I learned this song when I was in Germany, actually ministering at a church. And I think it's real appropriate for us this morning. And so as we sing this, let it be a prayer song for your own heart, maybe for your family, for our church, for our nation. Amen.
I am dry and thirsty, Lord. Send your rain. Send your rain. Lord, I need your touch again. Send your rain. Send your rain. Let's sing that again. I'm dry. I am dry and thirsty, Lord. Send your rain. Send your rain. Lord, I need your touch again. Send your rain. Send your rain. Let it rain. let it rain to revive our souls. I need your rain. I need your streams of refreshing until I thirst no more. Lord, I need your cleansing now. Send your rain. Send your rain. Please forgive, forgive my every sin. Send your rain. Oh, send your rain. Let's sing that again. Lord, I need your cleansing. Lord, I need your cleansing now. Send your rain, send your rain. Please forgive, forgive my every sin. Send your rain, send your rain. Let it rain, oh, let it rain. Until I thirst no more. Living in a dry and thirsty land, send your rain, send your rain. America needs your touch again. Across this nation, all across this nation, let it rain. Oh, let revival roll. We need your rain. We need your streams of refreshing for every thirsty soul. Sing it again, let it rain. Oh, let it rain. This nation, let it rain, let revival roll. We need your rain, we need your streams of refreshing for every thirsty soul. Oh, we need it, we need it, we need your. Saints, we need it. Oh, we need it. We need it. We need your rain. Oh, let it rain all across this nation. Let it rain. Oh, let revival roll. We need your rain. We need your streams of refreshing. We need your rain. Come on, receive it. We need it. We need it. We need your rain. Lord, we need it. We need it. We need your rain. Lord, we need it. We need it. We need your rain. Sing it again. We need it. We need it. We need it. We need your rain. We need your rain, oh, let it rain. need it, Lord. We need your rain, Lord. We need your rain, Lord. Come on us, Lord. Pour your Spirit out, Father. Pour your Spirit out, Jesus. Pour your Spirit out, Lord. We need you. We need a fresh wind of your Spirit, Lord. We need to get in the river, Lord. We need more of you, Lord. Come on us this day. All God's looking for is an open heart, a thirsty soul. And we're asking you, Lord Jesus, fill us today. Just reach out, saints. Believe Him for more. Believe Him for more. Rivers. Refreshing. If you want to come up to the altar, you want to stay where you're at, whatever you feel you want to do this morning, let's drink from the river. You want to be prayed for? Michael's here to pray for you. I'm here to pray for you. Let's be hungry. Let's be thirsty. Let's receive. Baptize us, Lord. Send your rain. Jesus.
You know, church, we need to take just a few moments right here. And just as we heard the word about walking into the river, about walking in up to the ankles, walking in up to the knees, to the hips, to the chest, and on and on and on. I want to encourage you right now, either in your spirit or literally with your body, walk forward. Come forward into the spirit. That may mean coming up here. That may mean just opening your heart to God. But I want you to see yourself walking into the rivers of the Holy Spirit. You know, maybe these last few weeks, maybe you felt like you've only got one big toe in that river. I want you to come forward. Maybe the last few weeks you've been feeling as if you're completely dry, like there's just no spirit there whatsoever. I want you to come forward. And so, church, let's take some moments. Let's take some minutes right now. If you need prayer for anything, come forward. We will pray. If you just want to open yourself up to Christ and to His Spirit for the first time, maybe for the 100th time, come forward. And if you want to sit where you are with your eyes closed and with your thoughts and your heart focused on God, that's okay too. Wherever you want to meet God, but let's walk into this river. We say, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for this word today. God, we thank you, Lord, that this river is still flowing. This river that's been flowing for thousands of years, this river of your Spirit, this river of revival, Lord, it is still flowing because it comes from the unending source. It comes from you. It comes from your Spirit, oh God. And Lord, we see all throughout history, God, we see the great movements of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we want to see it again. God, I pray for a revival upon this city, upon Columbia, God. I pray for revival in our colleges, God. I pray for revival in our schools. I pray for revival in our workplaces, God, in the stores and in the streets, oh God. I pray for revival in the churches, oh God. Would you unite your church, Lord? Would you bring your shepherds together? Bring your people together, God, to worship the Lamb. God, I pray for revival within our families, oh God. Lord, I pray for revival, God. I pray for the Holy Spirit. When you come, Holy Spirit, there is life. There is healing. There is salvation. When you come, evil must go. When you come, falsehood must go. When the truth comes, the lies have got to go.
Yes.
And so we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, when you come, you said you would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. God, I pray, would you do that, God?
Yes, Lord.
Would you reunite the families, God, in the way that you have created them, the way you have designed them, God? We ask for it, Lord. Because we know one day in heaven there will be the perfect family. We know in heaven, God, there will be no wayward fathers. There will be no wayward mothers, God. There will be no abandoned children. There will be no need for a foster care system. There will be no need for any of this stuff, God. Because you are going to restore it completely. And God, I want to see it now.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I want to see it now, yes, God. Lord, we look forward to the day where there's no sickness. I want to see it now.
Yes,
we look forward to the day, God, when everyone knows you. And Lord, I want to see it now, God. Come, Holy Spirit. Bring revival, God.
Yes, Lord.
And let it start right here in this place. Mm-hmm. Let it start right here in the hearts of each and every one of us, God. Bring revival, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit. And we pray in the powerful name of Jesus. And we say amen.
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 Wasn't this a great message, church? Come on, come on.
Hallelujah.
Come on. If you still need prayer, please do not leave here without getting prayed for. It is time, though. We do need to get our children. Children are over here. Youth are back there. And so please collect them. We thank you for coming, and we will see you soon.